Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Trinity Sunday is an interesting day for preachers like me, who often feel like they have to try to explain the idea of God as Trinity. It's sometimes an even more difficult day for you as congregation members who have to listen to preachers try to explain God, because it can be a pretty long process. Now, it's a difficult day for preachers because we have to find out that we have to talk about God. Now, you might think that for preachers and pastors, we're always talking about God, and it's pretty easy to do so, but in my experience, I think a lot of us actually talk rather little about God. Preachers talk a lot about what God wants of us, yeah, and if they're good preachers, they'll talk even more about what God has done for us and what God continues to do for us. And that, of course, after all, is the gospel, what God has done and what continues to do. But I think a lot of preachers don't talk very much about who God is. You see, talking about God, trying to say who God is one of those points where I think language fails us. Now, there are several Christian ways of trying to say who God is. The one that says the most about God is the one we use in the creeds, those statements of faith. The Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and today the Athanasian Creed. When we say those things that we believe about God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is those three, and the three are one God. And the Christian shorthand for that is just calling God the Trinity. Now, instead of going straight into talking about all that Trinity talk, I will first talk about, I think, two other ways in which we as Christians try to say who God is. These two other ways of talking about God, I think, will help us, I hope, see what God in the Trinity actually means. The first is the simple statement. God is love. The statement comes straight from the New Testament. It's one of those most important things that the Bible actually says. And you might think this is really all we need to say about God. God is love. Isn't this simple statement enough? Well, I think the trouble is, what does love mean? I think we got plenty of trouble trying to figure that one out. We use the word love even in all sorts of different ways. I love chocolate cake. Now, is that the sort of love that God is? Or some people say they made love. Now, is that the sort of love God is? We say we love people when what we mean is a selfish or possessive sort of love that can sometimes damage people. Love can be a destructive obsession. Love can be a self-indulgent feeling. Love can be vaguely wishing someone well. Love can be all kinds of things, or sometimes nothing at all. So, God is love is only going to mean something if we can actually spell out what God's love means, right? So if you're tracking with me so far, let's go on to the second way of talking about God. Now, this is talking about God by telling the story of God's love for the world, for you. That's the way the Bible spells out what it means to say that God is love. It tells us about God's love in the best way of talking about love. It tells us about God's love in practice. You see, God is a verb, and God's love is a verb. The best way that you can know what someone's love for you is like is by seeing it in practice. The Bible tells us what sort of love God is by telling the story of God's love for us. It tells how God, right from the beginning, created the world out of love. We see all three persons right in the beginning. God created. The Spirit of the God was hovering over the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. The Word of God in Jesus. So God shows His love by creating the world. And then the story of how God continued to love the world He had created when it got messed up. How God continued to be involved with the world and in His love for us. And then the story continues. It tells how even when we rejected God's love time and time again, and we spoiled God's world with evil, still God went on loving us and did all He could to rescue us from evil and to win us back. Now that's the Old Testament story of God's involvement. It's the story that eventually comes to the climax in Jesus. When God, in His love, sent for us, His Son, to actually be one of us. To live as a human being. To understand what we go through. To live for us and to die for us. That's the story that continues with God's loving presence with the Holy Spirit in the church and in your lives. That's the story of God's love for the world as it goes on. And we and you are all part of it. That's what it means when we say God is love. Now, if we've called all that so far, now, before we get hung up about God as three distinct persons and yet one God, and the number three in the Trinity, I want to slow down, and I want us to take a look at a different number. Not three. It's the number 11. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, says in our gospel reading from Matthew. The number 11. 11 disciples went to Galilee. 11. You see, Judas Iscariot had gone to his own place. And the other 11 disciples had hardly survived the death of their master, Jesus. Fear, despair, cowardice, abandonment, betrayal. The whole shameful performance of these pathetic, ever-failing, ragtag disciples, it flashes before our eyes once more when we read in this account that there are 11 disciples who went to Galilee. Not 12, 11. What is next, I think, is amazing. It's almost too outrageous to understand. You got these 11 disciples, and they're on their way, not knowing what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes to them. The one in whom all the fullness of God dwells bodily. The one begotten by the Father before all time, despised by men, but victorious over death. He comes to them. These scared men. Why? There can be only one reason. He loves them. Whenever you wonder how or where or in what condition to find a God who will accept sinners, then you must know that there is no other God than this man, Jesus, who is the Christ. So, take hold of Him. Now, you might be asking, what about us? What about me, preacher? How do I fit into this? The same goes for you. The 11 disciples were barely hanging on by a thread. They had no idea what to make of their lives. Some of them gave up their careers. Some of them gave up their families to follow Jesus. And then when Jesus died and left them seemingly alone, they had no idea what to do. It seemed like they had nothing left. No life. Sometimes we can feel like that. Sometimes you could maybe feel like that. The people, the most important people in your life, can go away. You can have all of your money and all of your possessions taken away. You can have your reputation taken away. And it feels like you're all alone and nobody else is there for you. So what do you think happens next? If we're going to listen to what happens to the disciples, we'll understand that the same thing happens for us. God comes to you. Jesus comes to you. He never went away. Before getting ourselves lost in the details about the majesty of God, the mystery of his being, finding out his purpose, we don't need to look any further than this man, Jesus. And when you do that, you will see love. You will see goodness. And you will see the compassion of God. In the compassion of Jesus, we know God. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent the one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. So what does this all-powerful Lord say to these 11 disciples? These 11 failures. What will he do to these had-been disciples who denied him before men earlier? You know what he does? He makes real for their lives what his death and resurrection accomplished. He says, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. This Jesus who comes to them declares. And rather than punish his disciples or deny them or even banish them, he strengthens them for service. He actually commissions them to tell the world the love of God. And before the disciples can even fathom to ask, who am I that I'm supposed to do this? I can barely make a disciple out of myself. Jesus interrupts them. And he interrupts our doubt with these words. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. And he assures the disciples and us and you, I will be with you. I am with you. Even until the very end of the age. That's who God is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.